on the phone with us is my good friend. Well, I call him a good friend. He might disavow me. It's David Brinkley. He's the Secretary of Budget and Management for the state of Maryland. Was appointed in that position in 2015 by Governor Hogan. Mr. Brinkley, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. And yeah, we are good friends. I hope I'm coming through okay. I'm on Bluetooth as I'm driving, so
no,
I hope we're okay.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I know that a lot of people are a bit concerned, and kind of what you do for a living, you kind of handle the budget and management. You know, the governor is has, you know, a lot of people, and no disrespect to you and your position, but call him Lockdown Larry, trying to do the best that he can. But it, you know, if businesses aren't operating, then obviously the revenue to the state of Maryland is not coming in, and part of your job is the budget and management. How is your office handling the fact that businesses aren't paying into the state of Maryland because they're not getting any money?
Well, there's you know, the governor is very concerned about all that too. So don't, you know, I know people have spoken derisively of him and what's going on. From the inside, he has done a phenomenal job, and particularly, you know, when compared to what's going on in some other states. Let's, you know, we go back just 9 months. He put out the directive. He said, look, I don't really know what's coming down the pike. I know what I'm being told. And he directed all of us to make sure that we had some ramped up in some healthcare facilities. So the Baltimore Convention Center to this day is still poised to be an emergency hospital for overflow. And it's a little bit bigger than Frederick Hospital. We reactivated two hospitals that had been shut down within the past 5 years. And in other states, you're hearing that now being national news when they've operated their convention centers or whatever. But look, convention business wasn't coming in. And then the press conference the other day, he did a phenomenal job in the sense that strategically, from the health care of Marylanders, what he's trying to do is ensure that the health care profession can handle what's going to happen. And then the whole aspect of trying to help people do things responsibly. But believe me, he is not immune to he gets the fact that, you know, there's some discomfort and pain being caused all across the board. And I see it on the number side. We're all seeing it. Now, we were surprised by some of the numbers that did come in. But right now, and he has done a phenomenal job in directing state resources to ensure public health and then also to try to ensure some lifelines to some of the smaller businesses throughout the state. And it's been, frankly, quite an honor to be with him to help him out with some of those decisions and tell him some of the options that he has ahead of him.
Hey, David, people that are critical of Larry Hogan may not understand several things, as you just mentioned. Is Larry taking his cues from other governors in the Northeast who are experiencing similar upticks in COVID cases? And if he is there some sort of weekly conference call or something that those governors get on to make decisions that effectively is disseminated to residents across the Northeast?
It's an interesting question, but actually I think it might be the other way around. A lot of the other governors are asking him, you know, what has he done to ensure that Maryland is still one of the, even though there's some pain going around, and we don't deny that, but that Maryland is still number five or number six in terms of economic output and bouncing back with what's going on, and how has Maryland's healthcare community been able to react to it? And I started going down that road, but the press conference he had just this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, when he had Dr. Scalia up there still in his surgical scrubs. And for those listeners who don't know who he is, he's the guy that runs Shock Trauma. And, you know, when I did my work as an EMT and everything else, Shock Trauma was, you know, with the golden hour and dealing with all that. And Maryland became the model for shock trauma responses over the past 30 years and 40 years. What they're now doing is implementing, in my opinion, I haven't been briefed on this, but something very similar now dealing with COVID responses in saying, you know, hospitals, you can't refer someone now just to within your own network. If you have a patient and you're in a Hopkins network or a University of Maryland network or anything else, you shall send them to the closest facility which is capable of taking that patient, whether they're COVID or non-COVID. And that's a big barrier that other states don't do. And again, the governor's direction on this is to ensure the best health care, most rapid health care to keep the spread so that Maryland's families can be safe, so that we can keep businesses open. And remember, the other mission here is I guess it's almost like a 2-minute warning. We're in a time zone with the, where we're trying to run the clock out until we can get a vaccine disseminated safely to the population. And we see that coming, but the governor's leadership on all this has been extraordinary. And if anything, I think other governors are looking to him. Why? Number one, he's made decisions. A lot of people, especially in politics, can't make decisions. Number two, he's elevated politics out of it. He's not doing the D or the R thing. He's about ensuring safety of Maryland's families and trying to ensure that when we have safe people and they feel safe in going out, Maryland's economy can continue to thrive. But it's not to say we don't recognize that there's some pain going around.
All right, we're talking with David Brinkley. He is the Department of Budget and Management for the state of Maryland. And I know maybe some of the questions that we're asking you, David, might be better suited for Kelly Schultz, who we've had on the program before. But I go back to saying, again, in your division, budget and management, I mean, you handle the money and how are you handling the budget process, and, you know, playing the shell game when it comes to the money that Maryland has, not only dealing with COVID, but dealing with the roads departments, dealing with other things that the state of Maryland has to do.
Yes, and it's great, Bob, because there's no book on how you deal with a shock that hit the economic system like what we've had. For instance, when this thing hit it, when it was just starting out and was at its peak, BWI Airport was at 95% vacancy. You know, there was only 5% of the people traveling, flights out there and all that stuff. And what a lot of people don't realize is all the bonds that were sold for transportation projects like that depend on you and I going and traveling and flying and paying those fees. So transportation has had to react very quickly to how it's doing. From the general fund, our perspective, what people are paying in income taxes and sales taxes and what's going on there, that's totally changed because people were also then buying things from home. So oddly enough, that sales tax revenue far exceeded what we expected, but you lost it on some of the retail sides. And I think that the operative word with it is not so much, I mean, yeah, you do have to deal with, you know, what's going on in the sales tax, income tax, lottery sales, so on and so forth, but it's dealing with the volatility. How quickly it changes and by how much it can change, because the legislature is allocating certain sources of revenue to certain pots of money, for instance, education and things like that. Here's an interesting fact was that, you know, we had to shut down the casinos. Then we opened the casinos back up, I think, to about 50% capacity. Once they were at 50% capacity, they started bringing in as much or even more money than they were before, which had everybody scratching their heads. Turns out there's a certain class of gamer who, I mean, that's what they do. They really enjoy and they know how to do the slots and play the card games and all that stuff. And they don't get the tourists who are just showing up for the little convention playing nickel dime slots. They were having the serious gamers still coming out, and the casinos didn't have to serve as much food or as much drink. That hurt some of the workers that were there. But we saw some things that just changed rather quickly. And again, my mission here is to ensure that some of the resources can be allocated for the governor's discretion so that we can have Kelly help out some of the local businesses and enterprises that we have.
Well, David, I appreciate your time. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much, sir, for jumping on the phone real quick, and have a safe trip. Sounds like you're going to have a good sunrise. Don't let the sun get in your eyes, my friend.
No, I'm almost at Annapolis, so hey. I will see you all there.
All right.
Get to meet with the governor a little later. Take care.
Thank you, sir.